In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. St. Paul has the same struggle with time that we all do, and that is, how much of it do we have, and what should we do with it? Paul makes clear in his letters that he believes that the end of time is very near indeed, and so we should focus on nothing other than preparing ourselves spiritually to meet our Maker, to meet our Redeemer. For instance, although Paul is clear that there is nothing at all sinful about marriage, he also recommends that because Christ's return is coming so soon, it will be best for Christians not to get involved in marriages or other social entanglements, because they're just going to be distractions from what truly matters. He says in 1 Corinthians, "I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none." You don't plan a wedding for next April if you're expecting Jesus' return in March. But at other times, Paul seems to be preparing the Christian community for the long haul, as it were. He wants to ensure, for instance, that Christians adhere to most of the same traditional social conventions as the rest of Roman society, so they wouldn't be seen as immoral. Paul wants Christians to be able to swim in the Roman waters, as it were, in which they will have to swim for generations. In the final verse of the chapter of Ephesians that we hear from this morning, verses that the church does not select to be read in Sunday during worship services, St. Paul tells wives to be subject to their husbands, just as would be expected of wives in the pagan society of the time. In other words, Paul wants early Christians to be able to say to their pagan neighbors, "See, we too are morally upstanding members of Roman society." So St. Paul struggles with time. How much of it do we have, and what do we do with it? How do we see the time we have? How do we live today to the fullest, knowing that we may not have a tomorrow, yet planning for tomorrow, because we may well have many of them? How would you spend your last day on this earth? Think about that for a minute. I suspect how we would answer that question, how would we spend our last day on this earth, would depend largely on what we believed would follow that last day on earth, and whether what we did on that last day in this life might affect what followed in the next. When St. Paul says in this morning's reading from Ephesians that, quote, "the days are evil," he likely means that there are many temptations to draw you away from living the life that God wants you to live. Apparently, that was as true in the first century as it is in the 21st. God wants you to live your life in certain ways in the midst of these evil days, not because God is a joyless schoolmarm, but because doing so will be good for your life and good for your soul. In truth, we should really live our lives as though it didn't matter how many days or weeks or months or years we had in front of us on this earth. In deciding how we spend our time, there are at least three factors to consider. One, how will my decisions affect my happiness in this life? Two, how will it affect those around me? And lastly, how will it affect my soul in the life to come? Happily, and perhaps not coincidentally, the answer to each of those three questions is the same, and that is what Paul counsels for us this morning when he says, Sing and make melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Following this advice of St. Paul's will help you in this life and the next, and will bless all those around you. St. Paul is talking about an action of the heart here, but what follows from that is what we actually do with our whole bodies. A great way to give thanks to someone is to say thank you, but following it up with actions that help that person is even better. You can thank your mother for making you a delicious dinner, but you can also clean the dishes afterwards. Thanking God in our hearts, as Paul says, is a first step, and caring for others, as Jesus told us to do, is the second. Now, there are, of course, pleasures in this life to be had that are not, in the end, a blessing to oneself or others, either in this life or the next. In his Confessions, for instance, St. Augustine himself says, "Lord, make me chaste, but not yet." He knows that what he is doing does not lead to the blessed life to which God calls him. The tempter, he who tempted Jesus as he fasted in the wilderness, is strong and wily. And this is likely not far from St. Paul's thoughts when he says the days are evil. Just because the path of righteousness is clear doesn't make it easy. This is why we pray to God for help, and why we strive to help those around us. We cannot do it on our own. We need each other. We need Christ, both in this life and the next.